Hey, girlfriends, welcome to another episode of Girlfriends and Goals. We're your hosts, Miosha.
And Samaria.
This podcast is a space where we'll talk about friendships, life goals, a little bit of pop culture, and all things womanhood.
Our top goal this year is to grow our podcast audience. So if you're new here or you're an avid listener of this podcast, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, write a review, and be sure to share this episode with a girlfriend or two.
All right, we're going to get into our first segment today, which is called Girl, What's Good, where we talk about something we've been loving or liking for the past couple of weeks. It could be a book, a show, podcast, bottle of wine, anything that you've been loving. So, Samaria, what's been good with you?
Okay, I feel like I always have shows and maybe I need to change that about myself, or, you know, it's just showing me who I am as a person. But there's this show called All Rise, and it was on CBS, I believe, for 2 seasons and got canceled. And then Oprah Winfrey Network picked it up. So now it's on its 3rd season, and it stars Simone Missick, who I know from Luke Cage, and I loved her in Luke Cage. And so I was a little late to this particular show, but I'm like, oh, she's a star. And now I have access to watch it. Let me watch it, you know? And so, yeah, All Rise. It's an amazing show, really. They do a very good job of showing, I guess, some parts of the legal system, but also the characters' personal lives. There's humor in it. So, yeah, it's a really good show. It's not too much personal life, too much, like, legal stuff. And I love the balance of it. I love Simone Missick. So, yeah, that's what's good with me. I've been enjoying that show. How about you?
What I've been loving is this YouTube channel called Cocoa Butter. And they have this segment of videos where they have this group of people react to, or this group of people try other people's X type of food. So an example would be Jamaican men try other Jamaican men's beef chicken. Patties or jerk chicken, or yes. Italian moms try other Italian moms' risotto. And I love this like segment of videos, just because one, I feel like, yeah, like, you know, different things about certain recipes, but it's just so interesting to see how everyone, even within a certain ethnic group, has their own way of making different dishes. And basically, the videos consist of regular people. They cook their main dish for that day, and then they have to try each other's. These aren't professional chefs or anything. And then they have to rate each other. And usually it consists of, you know, there's always one super harsh person who thinks that their food is the best. And spoiler, they usually are rated the lowest. That confidence doesn't transfer. But and then there's always like a really sweet person where the food is kind of mediocre, but they try. But either way, the YouTube channel is called Cocoa Butter, and they have dishes from all over the world. And I feel like I'm learning more about just like the different intricacies of how people make things. And one of my favorite videos that they did was West Africans try other Africans' jollof rice. And of course, everybody was hating on Liberia. They were like, oh, the Liberian jollof rice is a whole meal because it has like meat and vegetables. And they're like, oh, should Liberia even be included in this conversation because they include meat? But either way, I don't want to give too many spoilers. It's called Cocoa Butter. And you can find it on YouTube.
I'm trying to figure out what to respond to first, because obviously the Liberian in me is like, shut up. But they always make that argument, because when you're the best, you know what I'm saying? Like, they have to find some type of way to tear you down. But anyway, I do love that channel as well. Mm-hmm. I live for those episodes. I've seen the Jamaican moms one and the Jamaican men one. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen the Italian moms maybe try each other's. It wasn't lasagna.
Was it risotto?
It might have been risotto.
A bolognese or something.
It was probably risotto.
Okay.
Which is something I've never had, but it's because it just doesn't look like the way that I would eat rice. So I'm always hesitant. Like if I go somewhere and that's on the menu, I'm like, let me stick to what I know. Not the time to experiment. So yeah. Yeah, I love that channel too.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's go ahead and get into today's episode and this topic, which I don't know exactly what to call it, but by the time this episode is released, y'all will have a name, obviously, of the episode. But recently, I saw this clip from the show Black Love, which we've talked about in passing in an episode or two in the past. And this clip brought up something very interesting about the role of a man being a provider. And the comments brought up even more interesting things because it's like, while maybe stereotypically or historically people think that's a positive, now in the comments, right, it seems like there's some negativity that comes along with that particular term slash role of provider. So we're going to play the clip and then we'll share our thoughts after.
Girlfriend, boyfriend, maybe about a year into your graduate school, I lost my job. I had always had jobs, internships, and stuff, so I didn't never had to go without.
And he's a provider. Like, yeah. That's just who he is by nature. He's a person who, if we go out for drinks, he's going to slap his card on the bar and pay for everyone's drinks. So to not be able to do that was taking a toll on him.
It was messing me up. So I was like becoming a very angry, different person in that point in time. I'm running out of money. She wants to go on double date with one of her colleagues or one of her classmates. And I'm like, no, like, let's eat this Jimmy John's this weekend. Like, I'm just chilling. It's like, no, her boyfriend's coming to town. We're going out. And if you ever met this one before, she can be very much decisive and you don't have much say in it. So we go out. I'm just seeing them order up the menu. You know, we all just, all right, get a drink. I'll have water, lemon, please. And I'm just like counting up. I'm like, oh my God, what are we going to do when this bill comes? That's all I can think about the entire time. I look down. And I see that I had a text from her. It was like, yo, check your account. And I saw that she had quick paid me money to cover the meal so I could pull out my card as opposed to her, you know, pulling out hers. And I just like, that's crazy, bro. Like that right there, I said, when I get my life together, I'm marrying you. You don't have to think that I'm marrying you because you freaking get it, bro. You with me at what was the most humiliating moments of my life. Just like, she wouldn't let me lose hope.
All right, so that was the clip. Miyosha, I'm going to ask you first. What are your thoughts on that whole scenario?
My initial thought was, is this real? Are they acting? Like, are they putting on one for the camera? You know how people can be for the internet and social media. Just because I was taken back by his, I guess, big reaction to her, I guess, kind of stepping up and paying for the meal. And that was the thing that he felt like, oh, this is like why I'm going to marry you, because you did this thing for me. And I just thought, well, she did kind of put you in this situation, right? So I wasn't understanding why that was the turning point for him. And so I was just feeling like, I don't know about this. What about you?
You know, to your point, I feel like everybody has somebody. Really, I feel like everybody has maybe multiple somebodies. Everybody maybe has somebody. Some people have multiple somebodies. But in this case, the fact that that was the thing that just like made him give that type of reaction, I'm like, wow, that must really be his person, because the way that she thinks really works for him. And I think that's great. But I would agree with you, like, if you know this man doesn't have any money, you know this is the type of stuff that he would have done when he had money. You see how not having money is affecting him. Why are you so persistent about going out with these people? But also, why wasn't there maybe a conversation before leaving the house about how the payment situation would go? That's just one of the thoughts that I have. Mm-hmm. I have several more.
So you'd say that she's at fault?
I think at fault is like, you know, an aggressive way of putting it. But I did find that kind of interesting, you know, like, okay, tell the people maybe we can't go out or come over. Maybe we'll cook because y'all probably have groceries. Or like he said, a Jimmy John situation, like meet up at Starbucks for a coffee. Like, you know, I felt like there were maybe other ways to navigate that. But then also, like, if it was decided, okay, we're going to go out to this like dinner, I do think a conversation could have taken place. Like, okay, listen, I know the situation that we're in. So, you know, I'll just cash app you this and then you can pay for it. It's no big deal, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think initially she shouldn't maybe have been as pushy knowing the situation, but I also think he should have put his foot down and just said, hey, I don't feel comfortable with doing this. So I think they both had a hand in it. Like, he's a grown adult. No one's going to drag you to a restaurant. And then it's like, okay, why would you want to even sit there through an entire dinner? And it seems like maybe they would have been the one treating their friends. Like, I heard, apparently it's a thing where people kind of play Russian roulette in terms of who's going to be responsible for the check after dinner. Like if a group of friends go out, say it's like eight people, obviously you don't want to split the check. I think once you get to a certain age, you're like, let's just let one person handle it and we'll figure it out after the fact. But everyone puts their card into a cup and whoever's card the waitress pulls out, it's your turn that day. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was that type of vibe where it's like, oh, we just cover people, you know, just because, or the person's traveling in, but why sit through an entire dinner knowing that that's the expectation?
So from what I heard, it was that he normally did this. He normally, like when they would go out with friends, he would normally be the one to pay. Mm-hmm. And so I guess to stay in line with past behavior, that's why it felt like they had to, you know, like what... Once you've established, what do they say? Like, don't do it if you can't maintain it. They say mm-hmm. it in a cuter way than that. But I can't think about it right now. But yeah, like, so maybe it was just their culture as a friend, mm-hmm. you know, or as a couple. That's what they did.
I would even say, though, and I understand that, you know, once you've established something, that it can be hard to pivot.
Yeah.
But I think one area that maybe, you know, you could think of is, oh, well, situations and goals do change. So I was thinking, like, aside from her inviting them over or them going to a less expensive place or just not going at all, maybe only she goes. Okay. So many options. But I was also thinking it could have just been a conversation of, hey, we have goals that we're trying to meet, certain things we're trying to do financially. You don't have to go into all your business, but we ain't gonna be able to do it. And that's that.
Yeah, exactly. So I do, and maybe they were young, you know, like in the clip, they appear to be a young couple. So, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes youth gets in the way, but mm-hmm. I just thought the whole thing was really interesting that she pushed for it, that he was like, okay, well, her mindset on it. And then he sat through the whole dinner really uncomfortable. At least the discomfort could have been handled with that conversation prior. Like, if you knew you were going to pay for it, girl, why you ain't tell me before?
Right.
And that's... Here was sweating bullets in this restaurant.
Yeah. And it could have just been like, hey, I'm going to treat you this time because this is something that I really want to do. Or exactly. Treat us, because she's a part of the process. It's her friend. Yeah. So, you know, she could have just been like, hey, I'm going to treat us this time. So don't worry, I got it. We'll figure it out beforehand.
Yeah, like the whole text thing. I mean,
but maybe she saw him sitting there like sweating bullets during dinner. Like, maybe she didn't realize the magnitude of mm-hmm. the situation until she maybe saw him throughout dinner being uncomfortable. And then it hit her like, I got to do something about this.
Yeah, exactly. That man said, man, when I get my stuff together, I'm gonna marry you. Like, I guess that's what they think the biggest prize is to give to a woman. I don't know, but yeah.
So what do you think about, I guess, this whole scenario of a woman paying to keep, I guess, like her man's ego or even her ego? Because I think it's connected in this situation. Like, what do you think about women paying, you know, to keep egos in check or in line?
You know, I am not a huge fan of this for myself. I'm very mindful of ego when deciding who to date. I'll put it that way. And so for me, it's not my ideal situation, but I think people would say in that way, maybe I'm a more quote unquote modern woman, where it's like, okay, if we're at a restaurant and it's my treat, like, you shouldn't be embarrassed that it's my treat. You know, I shouldn't have to be like, oh, well, you take my card and pay, or I'll Cash App you and then you pay. Like, to me, that is a bit much when, if it's my treat, I could just be, you know, paying. But I do understand. I was going to say, I do understand that maybe this was just a situation where it was because he wasn't making money. Actually, yes, I do understand, because I think it was just, oh, I don't have the actual money to do it. So maybe if they were both making money and she decided to pull out her card, then that would be a totally different scenario. So I want to be understanding, but again, for me, it's not the ideal situation. It makes me feel a little weird.
Yeah, I do wonder, and they didn't explicitly say this in the clip, but was part of her pulling, you know, sending the money via Cash App or whatever, so he could pull out the card, was part of it her also trying to preserve an image for the both of them, not just his own ego. So they didn't explicitly say that, but I have seen situations like that where, you know, a couple, they want to present in a certain way. And so the women are willing to do things in a way that can contribute to, you know, that appearance. But, you know, I would say, I don't know, it's even with, I guess, you, a woman maybe paying for the meal, but then other people not knowing. I think from the exterior standpoint, the ego may still be intact, but within the relationship, I do wonder, like, what does that do to his ego? Because he would still know that you paid. So I guess there's levels to this.
So you're thinking maybe it wasn't about the outside gaze, it was about how he would feel when they were behind closed doors again as a couple?
I think it's all of it. Okay. I think it's all of it. You know, I don't know. I can't say that it would be a good idea to do it long term, you know, doing these types of things to preserve each other's egos or his ego. Because I think it's harmless short term. It's like, oh, you go home, we had a great dinner, that's it. But then like long term, like, what does this look like?
I will say kudos to him for not being so fragile that he's like, she thinks I can't take care of my, you know, because from what I've seen on the internet, there are people like that who like would take what she did and be so offended by it. So I guess kudos to him for not being that way, you know, and for appreciating the gesture that she made, because it seems like it was out of preserving. And and I think there's something to be said for that. Like, I think it's sweet that she wanted to preserve his ego. I think anybody who's in a romantic relationship, if they're not trying to protect the other in like some, what might seem like the silliest way, right, to other people, then there's an issue there. So the fact that that was important enough to her to make that move, I think, you know, just says that that's someone who she was very much interested in. So I don't want to like, I don't want to make it seem like we're faulting her and like, don't ever do this in your life. It's not even that deep. Yeah. So I have heard though of like that arrangement working for other people. So there was this lady, actually not working for other people, because there was this lady who made a YouTube video fairly recently. It had to have been in the last year, but she was going through a divorce. And that was something that was a long-term thing for her and her ex-spouse. Yeah, where, you know, whenever they would go to dinner, she would give him the card beforehand so that he could have this image. And now that to me is more of a no-no. Because it's like something about caring too much about the appearance, like how you look to other people. But also, if we don't have it, something about presenting things the way they're not to that extent, right? Because everybody does it to some extent, but to that extent just bothers me. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, so I can't say that I necessarily know people in this exact scenario where it's worked out per se, but it does remind me of a bit of the whole like starter wife, starter girlfriend phenomena, where I think women sometimes are doing things early on in a relationship or marriage to preserve maybe the person's ego or whoever's providing their ego. You know, they're seeing them struggle, helping them through certain situations. And in this situation, this young man, he was very, very grateful for it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, I know this is the person for me. But then the whole starter wife or girlfriend phenomenon is when maybe the person, you know, you're helping and you're seeing through these tougher times don't necessarily have the reaction of gratefulness and kind of keeping you there when they are put on. And so because of their ego, you know, they'd rather go start with someone new who hasn't been there with them through the struggle. They're like, oh, let me just have a brand new start because this person doesn't know exactly where I came from, what all it took to get there. And, you know, the person who was there with them through it is kind of put to the side, even though they may have sacrificed so much to help them get to a certain point or to present in a certain way.
Did you watch Wait Is the Exhale recently?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so I don't know if you, I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, you just described one of the characters' whole situation in that scenario that you were stating. But yeah.
Since then, we've seen that. I mean, I've seen it with couples in my real life and in pop culture. Where, you know, it doesn't always translate when you think you're like being so helpful and preserving a certain image. But inside the relationship, they know, the person who you're with, they know what's going on.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the reasons why this might bother me slightly, right, is I think the one thing that I'm sure of in life is that there will be downturns. You know, like everybody who's doing well right now might not be doing well 5 years or 10 years or whatever, you know? And I think, especially for people who are middle class, you know, people, there are going to come times where it's like, oh, things are, money's flowing in, things are excellent, right? But then there might be those times where things aren't going so great. And for me, it's important to understand that and not feel like you have to preserve some type of image based on where you are not in life. Mm-hmm. That would bother me. Like if a partner was like, oh, I know we don't have XYZ, but we need to maintain this type of appearance. Like that would bother me. And I'm not saying this guy asked that. I think the lady of her own volition wanted to keep that up, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that is what bothers me about this.
Oh yeah, and it shows maybe, you know, maybe the people around them or us, you know, that if you're not willing to have that vulnerability with people to say like, hey, this is just like where we are in life, these things have changed, that may say a lot too. Because I think it's one thing to like put on for people on social media because it's just a picture or a video clip. You can fake anything. Anybody can look rich on the internet, but, you know, even in your real life, you know, where these are friends or family, and you're not able to be honest about just like what's going on and where things are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I could have this perspective also because like so right now I'm a grad student, right? And I've been a grad student before when I was getting my master's and had to leave job. So because I've lived that life where it's like, okay, I've been working and then there have been moments where I'm not. And then there are moments where I was working again and then not. Like, because I've gone through it, maybe I'm more comfortable. Like if I were someone who kept on working after graduating college and has just been working the whole time and has become accustomed to a certain lifestyle, like things could be different. So I just want to recognize my position is one where, because I've had to do it enough times, I'm like, just be transparent about it. It's no big deal, but I understand to others it might be a big deal.
Yeah. So there was a comment under the video that said that whenever someone has to say that I'm the provider, I provide, eyes provide, that it's a red flag for me. It's the mental gymnastics that come with it. So why do you think someone stating I'm the provider could be seen as a negative thing? And I'm not saying that you think that. I'm just saying, why do you think that it could be seen as negative?
Yeah, just really quickly, I think in the clip, she said that, like, it's important for him that he's a provider. So I guess we didn't hear those words come out of his mouth. But anyway, so yeah, I think because in this day and time, and probably times before now, it's just that because women are able to provide for themselves, it's now becoming an issue. But some people probably see that provider role as a controller role, you know, and that, oh, I should be able to do this so you can't do this for yourself, you know, or because I am taking on this role now, you absolutely have to take on the role of a woman that I think is appropriate. And so I think that's where this person's coming from. It's like, okay, if they feel like they have to be the provider, then what happens when I'm making more money than you are? Do you not feel like you're the provider then? That's a conversation that needs to be had. Or, you know, what happens if, you know, we've decided I'm gonna stay at home, but now I'm deciding to go back to work and you feel like you have this provider role and I should just let you provide. What do the conversations then turn into? So yeah, I think that's why it might be seen as a negative thing.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the word conversations, because when I saw this comment, the first thing that I thought was the internet is just such a strange place full of extremes.
Yeah.
And I think everything should just be a conversation. So for me, if someone said, oh, I'm the provider, I don't think my natural reaction would be like, oh, that's a red flag. This is just me personally. Mm-hmm. It would need to be a broader conversation, because even if someone doesn't explicitly say those words, they can still have those same sentiments. But under the assumption that, you know, hey, this is a negative thing, the first thing that I think of, aside from the person being the controller, is that may be their way of telling you that they're not necessarily interested in showing up in the partnership in any other capacity. So like, hey, I'm the provider, but all that cooking and cleaning, child rearing, nurturing, homely things, you're going to have to take care of all that. I don't have to do anything. I come home and put my feet up. Mm-hmm. Oh, you've delivered a baby. Looks like you're going to have to figure out a way to do it all, you know, and I'm just going to stay in this role and not be flexible and understand that, hey, I may be the financial provider, but I also have to provide in other ways as well.
Yeah. You know, so if someone were to say that to me, I don't know that I would take it as a good thing or a bad thing, but I would follow up with, oh, what does that look like to you?
Details, please.
Right, because I just don't want that. I don't want that negatively impacting my ambition, you know? So, or feeling like I have to be a certain way to fit in with your plan.
Because I think like with any other piece of a relationship, there's a range. Mm-hmm. So providing can mean different things to different people at different points in time. So it's important to explore exactly what they mean, and also just like real life scenarios of what you think is going to work for you. And of course, at that point, it's future tense because you may be in the early stages of the relationship, but you should still be exploring those conversations, because eventually, if you're taking it serious, you'll get there.
Yeah. You know, another word that kind of has this same connotation, or could have that same connotation, protector. So like you see on the internet from time to time, and I think we might've talked about it in the Stop Telling Women to Smile episode, but men are like on the internet saying things like, y'all don't want to even smile at us, but y'all want us to protect y'all. And it's like, when people say protect, like, I think there are going to be situations where you do have to physically protect a woman, but at least in my experience, that those don't come up all the time. Like, unless you're just someone who's like going out and initiating fights with people, it's not something that I see happening all the time. Mm-hmm. I think those people who make those comments, right? Mm-hmm. Don't see protection in other ways. Like, they don't see, a lot of it is going to be emotional protection. Like, you're not actively doing things that you know will hurt my feelings because you're interested in protecting me as a whole being, you know?
Oh yeah. And I think it's also a very restricted view because I think they're thinking of their family or people close to them. But mm-hmm. I think most women, when we say, hey, we're looking for protection as a community, you know, when my sisters and my friends were moving about the world, like, we don't spend the majority of our time with our immediate family. But when we're out and about,
yeah,
you do want that sense of, hey, if someone sees something happening to me, they're going to step up, you know, to try and help me or to protect me. So,
yeah, exactly. So just going back to the clip, mm-hmm. is there anything about that clip that concerned you? And not necessarily about their relationship, because we don't mm-hmm. know these people or their relationship. They've shared a portion with the TV show, which I haven't watched and you haven't watched. So we can't pass any judgment, period. But we definitely mm-hmm. can't pass any judgment based on a clip from a TV show. But just from your perspective, is there anything that concerns you either about him, her, or the dynamics that were described?
Yeah, so I would say the main thing was the need to put up just this front or act. And then when he referenced, you know, like, oh, when she can be decisive, right? Mm-hmm. And so just this dynamic of not just her, but like when you're in a partnership or relationship, just keeping an open mind in terms of boundaries and what your partner feels comfortable with. Yeah. So that was the one thing that stood out for me. It seemed like she was very protective of him, I guess, in his image in that moment, his feelings after the fact. But it seems like on the front end, her decisiveness mm-hmm. put him in that uncomfortable situation. So I guess just in terms of reflection, you know, when we're maneuvering through our relationships, it's just important to keep in mind our partner's boundaries up front.
Yeah.
Especially if you know the situation, they've expressed it to you. And not to say you can't fix it on the back end. It's just, I think, good to keep it in mind up front.
Absolutely.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think that's very prudent.
Like, you can't just always want what you want to your partner's detriment.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to accept it and be like, okay, it is what it is. It's a meal, it's a trip. Whatever insert thing is, you're just not going to be able to get what you want that time. And that's okay.
Yeah. And if it's something like this small now, you know, certain behaviors, this isn't all of us, but behaviors that we show in small things are the same types of behaviors that will show up in bigger things, you know?
Oh yeah. It's a meal today. It's the house next.
Yeah. So it's like, you really have to be mindful of yourself. I think for him, mm-hmm. and I don't think it's his fault. I think society does this to men, and it's really heavy, like in the Black community. But I do kind of want people who have that mindset to maybe go back to the drawing board on what it means to be a provider, and also accepting that one of the benefits of having a partner is when you're in those like low points in your life, like there are other ways that you are supported, not just, oh, I'm gonna put you in this awkward situation and then pay the bill. So I think I do want them to just reconsider what it means to be a provider, but also reconsider what it means to be a man, especially in 2022, in the year of our Lord, 2022. I just want people to understand that it's more than just a wallet. Like, a man is more than just a wallet or a financial plan. Like, this is the reason why people on the internet are concerned about women being gold diggers when they don't have gold to dig. It's because they think the value of a man is that. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that's not valuable. I'm not saying that I mean, shouldn't have that desire to, you know, make sure the home is taken care of and things like that. But there is more. And so, yeah, just making sure that a man's identity is not just what he brings financially.
Oh, yeah. And if you're aspiring to be partners long term, you know, life is going to come and go in different ways, different situations. And not to say that you have to grow comfortable in a place of not being able to provide, because I would acknowledge that as you get older, you take on more responsibilities. In this scenario, it's about dinner. But as we get older, we take on more responsibilities. You know, I just want to put out there that I do understand that this pressure to provide is societal, but it's also practical as well. Mm-hmm. Like in your day-to-day life, your kids, your home, your well-being, your health. So.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess just to kind of wrap it up, like in the video, the mm-hmm. young man mentioned being angry or kind of not himself because he wasn't able to provide. So do you think that in and of itself is problematic or a red flag, or is it kind of just a natural reaction to a change of lifestyle?
I think it's both. Mm-hmm. I think it is a bit problematic in that I think it's okay to maybe have that initial reaction. We're human, and I understand, you know, people are raised and indoctrinated in different ways. But I think there's also room to grow from it as well. Okay. In that, like, that's not your only value. But I'd also say that I do think that it is a natural reaction, aside from this situation, just because I think of myself as a single person. And if I were to find myself not being able to provide for myself, I'm probably going to go through a whole host of emotions. I may be feeling on a high, like, oh, I ain't got to go to work tomorrow, too. Lord, these groceries are too high. I don't know how I'm going to do it, you know? So I will say that it's a little bit of both. Human reaction of, hey, having a family or wife or husband aside, as a single person, I know I would go through a range of emotions. And I can't say that it would always be pleasant and good and comfortable and woosah. But I also know that there's room to grow from being angry mm-hmm. about this type of scenario.
Yeah, I would say just natural reaction. I don't know that I found his anger about, you know, not being able to move the way he would move problematic. I think mm-hmm. there were other things, you know, maybe like the whole appearance thing or mm-hmm. just not being able to communicate to people around you, hey, we can't do this right now. So I think for me, that was where the problem was. The problem was ego, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe caring too much what other people think or whatever. But I don't think the anger in and of itself was a problem at all. I think it's natural. Like you said, if you wouldn't, you know, like, if you couldn't provide in that way, in the way that you've been doing mm-hmm. before, you've become accustomed to this lifestyle and now you can't maintain it, I think anyone would be angry. But you also just have to realize, like, okay, I can't maintain it. So I don't need to be putting myself in or agreeing to situations where I'm having to maintain something that I know I can't maintain.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of the Girlfriends and Goals podcast. You've heard our thoughts on this topic, but we'd love to hear your thoughts as well. So make sure you follow us over on Instagram at Girlfriends and Goals podcast, where we'll continue this conversation over the next week. If you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do that now. Don't forget to rate, review, and share. Until next time, bye.
Bye.